Okay, well, there's a little handout, a very brief outline. In Deuteronomy 17, which was the second giving of the law, Moses wrote this as a word from the Lord. When you come to the land that the Lord is your God is giving you, and you possess it and dwell in it, I will set a king. You say, I will set a king over me, like all the nations that are around me. You may indeed set a king around you, whom the Lord will choose. Then he gives three warnings that king was not to multiply horses. He was not to multiply wives. He was not to accumulate great riches, I think in dependence upon God, lest he would see his own strength as the means of his continuation. But then he also says this, not only negatively, but positively. This is the instruction to that king. Verse 18, when he sits on the throne of his kingdom, he shall write for himself in a book a copy of this law, approved by the Levitical priests, and it shall be with him, and he shall read it all the days of his life, that he may learn to fear the Lord his God by keeping all the words of this law and these statutes and doing them, that his heart may not be lifted up above his brothers, and that he may not turn aside from the commandment, either to the right hand or to the left, so that he may continue long in his kingdom, he and his children in Israel. God purposes to accept their natural desire to have a king. He says, yes, but that king ought to write out a copy of the law for himself, and it ought to be validated by the priests. It ought to be an accurate record. And then he says he should read it all the days of his life. And I think we can read into that. He needs to stick with the law of God. He needs to be in the Word of God daily, all the days of his life, that he would not depart from it and go into areas of temptation, turning to the left or the right, or as he said, not be lifted up above his brothers. And so here's one purpose of a daily pattern of personal devotions, personal worship, is that we would be in the God's Word. And we've talked about that. We've talked about the purposes. Psalm 1 says, in his law, that man, the blessed man, meditates day and night. And in the new covenant, that we would walk in Christ, we would grow in Christ, we would abide and know the nourishment of Christ, the figure of the branch and the vine. We would guard our own hearts. We talked about what it should include. It should include speaking to God in prayer, hearing from God in his word, waiting upon God in meditation, and committing ourselves to God in dedication, giving each day to God and committing ourselves to a life of obedience, love, and service to God. We talked about how do you go about it, and we just had some early suggestions about that. We talked about warming exercises, what I would call warming exercises, perhaps in the Psalms to warm our hearts, a fresh appreciation of God. We would be sure to include prayer, Bible reading, singing and praise to God, meditation, perhaps journaling, perhaps supplementary helps. And that's just about the place where we ran out of time, talking about some of those suggested supplementary helps here. So I had some very helpful input afterwards, and so I framed a couple questions here. I'd like to ask, it's both the negative and the positive. Like to, now this is early warning, I'm going to ask, why are personal devotions so hard sometimes? And what are the struggles that we've had? Let's share that with each other. And how do we overcome those struggles? Secondly, I put it here, I remember a time when my devotions were especially sweet. Can we encourage one another? Malachi 3, the people of God spoke to one another, encouraging words. And could we think of times when we had a positive experience? It's probably harder to talk about the positives than the negatives, because we spend so much time in the negatives, but is there a time or is there something that you did in your own devotions that you found very helpful that you'd be willing to share with others of a sweet time of devotions? So that's early warning as you're percolating and getting the juices going this morning. Otherwise, we'll do some jumping jacks. Okay, so so let's go on the hard side. Why are personal devotions so hard sometimes? Alan. Okay, time constraints, overwhelmed by the other pressures, preoccupations of the world. Okay, Lindsay?
The spirit is willing, but the flesh is weak.
Okay, the spirit is willing, but the flesh is weak. Does that happen in the morning to you by any chance? Yeah, me too. Okay, the flesh is disinclined to it, all right? Okay. Okay. Okay.
Things change.
Okay. Seasons of life, and yeah. Yeah, and I'd like to come back to that. How, you know, what are some of those seasons in life? I call them later in your paper, the extremes of life, something where we're called into an extreme situation. Early motherhood is one of those. Diana?
Just unfortunately, our nature being so prideful, we don't see God as great as He is, and we don't see ourselves as needy.
Okay, we don't see God as great as He is,
nor
ourselves as needy as we are. So we come in and we're kind of flat, right? God is not elevated, we are not reduced. And so well, we come in and we're just kind of there. Is that? I think that's what, yep, I know what you're saying, right? Ron.
I think this overlaps with some of the other comments. But
just a little louder and then.
I think this overlaps with some of the other comments.
Okay, we're not always actively working to kill our sin. We're not aware of that. We're not seeing the need to put to death the deeds of the body. Okay? Sandy.
Even though we know it's good for us, like exercise, it's a priority that can, even though it should be the first priority, sometimes the other priorities of the busyness push it out because we can, even though we know it's good for us.
Right, just similarities into physical exercise, right? We just don't get it. Condemned. Pastor and then Allison.
I think if we have unconfessed sin that we're harboring, it disinclines us to meet with God because we know that He's going to deal with us in a particular area where we're not fessing up. And so we don't want to draw near because the pipes are clogged with sin that we're not willing to confess.
Okay. Unconfessed sin, right? It just we're disinclined to come toward God.
Bad conscience.
Bad conscience. Results. Okay. All right. Good. And Allison?
To piggyback on what Sandy said, we are physical beings. We live in a physical world. We're very prone to think physically and temporally, and we just don't see the priority of spiritual discipline because we're not seeing effects immediately or in a physical sensory way. I think that's our tendency as fallen people to let the urgent things around us crowd out what's really important because we're seeing the world here and we don't have an eternal view to see what God wants to do for all time.
Okay. So yeah, the urgent precludes the important, right? So, okay, thank you. And we don't, just to pick up again, you go there, you pray, and you have that, and you don't see immediate results the next day, why go back, right? So, okay, thank you.
This falls in with all that, and this is a question that I've been battling with, and I asked a couple people. And you said that you opened this up to forum, and this regards prayer 100%. The Lord taught us how to pray, in what order and how we should pray, and you're helping us pray. Mm-hmm. What I want to ask you to do is help me listen. Mm-hmm. Help me to hear God's word on what I pray about. Can you do that? Can you teach mm-hmm. me how to listen to God so I can hear him answer my prayers.
Okay. So how to listen. How to listen to God.
How to listen to God, how to hear what he's telling me. And also, if I'm constantly praying to God, which is what he wants us to do, how can I hear what he's saying if I'm the only one talking?
Right. Well, I don't think constant prayer is talking about constant one-way direction. I think that we've talked about meditation. We've also talked about the input of the Word of God.
So how do I put that into practice?
Can you give
me those steps so I can hear what God is saying to me?
Yeah, I don't think, yeah, right. Read your Bible, right? Yeah. I think I'm gonna say there's not steps to do that. Okay, there's not steps. I don't have 1, 2, 3, but we do have some principles, and we can start as a group to bring that back out as we keep going. So yeah, Leah.
I think
just a little bit louder.
I go to sit down, everything's quiet. All right, I have some quiet time. I go to sit down, and all of a sudden, somebody calls at that time. The baby gets upset. Then it's all chaos for another, 20 minutes or so. And then when you go to sit down, and now you got to go on to the next thing. Now you have, it's like you have that window.
Okay.
And I noticed that yesterday, I was actually going to talk to my husband about something spiritual, which I rarely ever do, and I just prayed about it. And I go to sit down and I ask him if he'd be willing to listen to a passage that I read. And he was willing. And I was about to start reading the passage when his phone rang, his friend wanted this, then the kids. And I'm like, this is spiritual warfare.
Yeah,
that's
right.
Satan doesn't want me to grow, doesn't want my husband to be saved. Mm. He's going to keep all the truth from him.
Right, okay.
It just seemed very obvious to me, like, really?
Right. So the interruptions that come, again, in the providence of God, but it is spiritual warfare here, and that we need to have our battle. Yeah, keep pursuing it, have our battle. Yeah, just keep praying and asking others to pray for those times, and that God will overpower and overcome in those. Thank you. Yeah. Okay, so. Good. So, yeah, and again, coming back to David's, this is going to be, the answer is not going to come right now. The answer is going to come as we talk. I think we want to be hearing God in our regular reading. We also want to be especially sensitive to where I am and what I need to grow in grace, and then look for that in the Word often. So, in the particular situation where we are. I think, Alan led us off on the life overwhelms us, right? And things get done. What is a habit, good or bad?
Yes.
Yes. Right? There's good habits and there's bad habits, right? So we need to take what the way we're made and redeem that for as good habits, right? So there can be a pattern. Sometimes it's routine. It can drift into monotony. It can drift into formalism, right? But if there's a set pattern, there's almost an expectation. I tell about my devotional dog. I feed the dog. I make coffee, and the dog walks over to my study and goes, You're coming, aren't you?
Wow.
And there's my conscience that says, that says, I need to do what I should routinely do. And the dog has a good habit. I ought to have the same habit, right? So I think one of the other problems is the mirror effect. James said, don't be just hearers of the word, but be doers. And he said, don't be like a man who looks at something as a mirror, looks at his image in a mirror and then turns away and forgets what he looked like, but that we would redeem our times in the Word to really take and ask, what does that Word say to me, and what can I in Ron's terms, what can I do to battle sin or positively to develop graces from what I see in the Word as a mirror, and to don't just let it be a mirror, but let it actually have an impact on me. Okay, well, let's go to the next one. Let's talk about the positive side. I remember a particular situation or a season when it was all clicking. It was sweet, it was good, it was rich. Can anybody remember one? you have any special memories? Sandy? Okay, and this is not like I did it right and I was a wonderful person. No, God broke in, right? So I think we could all say God broke in and here's what happened. But what was the context of that? Let's do that for mutual encouragement of times when things were especially fruitful. Okay?
I remember the first time I prayed out loud, and that was after sitting in a group of people that could pray, and they knew so much more than us, and we were brand new believers, and I thought, I'll never be able to do this. I know that it sort of goes around and probably should, but I didn't have the nerve. And then I remember praying, because it had been, you know, several months now going to this, and I just said, well, I just opened my mouth, and the prayers came. Mm. I didn't know what they were going to be. And I thought, oh, that's how you do it. You just want to. Don't worry about it. Hmm. And that was sweet. And I'll never forget.
Okay. You just, where the heart, out of the abundance of the heart, the mouth speaks. So just go ahead, right? We probably all find praying out loud difficult, even in private, right? But to do it, and especially for the men, I would say that's a kind of a catapult into praying in public. Let's pray out loud in private and use that as a means to help us pray better in public. Maybe I'm going too far back. I'll let you talk about the last 10 days or the last 3 days. But Murray?
It goes further back than that by years. But I would say two things. One, I can remember a couple of particularly sweet times that were tied to retreat, conference type things. So there were sort of intentional times when you're going to be focused on spiritual things. And either at that conference or before that conference, particularly talking to the Lord, and they both had to do with, well, I can just picture singing to the Lord very familiar, but very heartwarming songs. And like you said, feeling that the Lord had broken in and was really, I was really communing with the Lord rather than just, as Dave said, talking and not hearing anything.
Okay.
So I think in those times, for you to be able to actually remember those particular times, that's a God thing. That's the Lord doing that.
Right.
But I would also say that for me, the pattern is I have to be focused enough on the material that I'm reading or meditating on for it to matter to me.
Mm-hmm.
So I'm just not very successful if I'm just generally reading through. So I really need to be thinking about it in a more in-depth way. It's just not enough to just read it. I have to be thinking about it in a way that's more engaged. For me, that often takes the form of, how can I explain this to somebody?
Okay.
But, you know,
right.
It's in different people, it would be in different ways, but it has to be more engaged.
Okay, more engaged, right. There might be, a habit of trying to get through a particular passage, but you're saying, speak, Lord, you know, find the things that are in that come to me. Pastor Chuck?
I think for me, it has to do with both the frame I'm in, but also the portion of scripture I'm in at any given time. And there are just some seasons where every day there are nuggets that are just coming out of the scriptures, and I'm feeding on and applying it, and it really gets the juices going. I can't wait till tomorrow because I had such a rich time today. Mm-hmm. And then there are other seasons where, whether it's my own sinful frame or whether it's the portion of scripture, where it's just not popping. with truths as much as other times. So yeah, I think it very much has to do with the portion of scripture I'm in and maybe my frame as it's interacting with that.
Right. And I guess even like in, I think of Old Testament history, you know, trying to put myself into the picture, how would I be thinking in this person's shoes if I were that man, how would I react? Does my reaction match what God is intending in that place? Alan?
Kind of piggybacking on that, I kind of see systematic theology a little clearer than I do biblical theology. So when I see types or shadows of Christ in the Old Testament, and I get it, it's just like a wow, you know, invigorates me.
Okay. Invigorated by those types that now we see in Christ. Allison? Just going to have to be a little louder.
Sorry. The sweetest times for me recently have just been times of intense trial, times when you're really in the throes, and you have to, it's like Christ or nothing. You have nothing else to go to. And as you call out to him and pray the Psalms to him, you see him working. You feel comfort. There's a real connection. And then coming through that, it just, you know, intensifies your desire to go back and get more and to feel yourself fed. But you have to persevere through the dry times the easy times.
Right,
before you get there.
So, okay, rejoicing in our sufferings, in our afflicted times. Ashley, are you going to say something?
I think just when God pushes me past myself and pushes me to do something radical for him, whatever it may be, like, it's just I haven't been praying as much as I want to, so I have to push past all this worldly stuff to sit down and pray. It becomes the most fruitful time for me. Or when, you know, just after Dr. K left, the prayer revival thing, just like pushing and striving to wake up at 4 a.m. and like pray and read scripture and pray through it and pick a book and pray through it. And seeing him and everything, that's when I become, you know, that's what I get the most out of.
Press ahead, right? Okay, good, thank you. So, Jennifer.
I was thinking about, she said about trials, because I feel like...
just a little louder for all the corners
like
of the room. Thank you. And during those times of crisis, that would be a time to adjust perhaps a regular schedule of reading. You know, as you said, you know, when I desperately need Christ, you know, when I especially am aware of my desperate need of Christ, to go into the passages that reveal him, right? Not be back in Ezra, Nehemiah reading, you know, something there of history, but to think of, you know, and to move toward Christ in our readings and look for the sweetness of that time. I appreciate all these inputs. One more, or a couple more. Yeah. Picturing the curtain torn in two, okay. Right. Yeah. And maybe that's time to go back to those places in Hebrews where it talks about our privileges of access to God and then take those promises and go into the presence of God. So, Lindsay?
I have found some of the supplemental stuff that you were talking about very helpful. I did a Beth Moore study on the life of David a year and a half ago, and I found that to be very helpful because I would read the passage and then she would bring so much more out of it through asking you questions. You know, she'd ask you to try to figure it out first and then she'd give you the answer. Which was just good for me to, like, I think Mr. Wilson was saying, just really study it instead of just reading it, because then there was so much more that I got out of it, and there was a lot that applied to my own life, and I just felt like I was growing, I was learning stuff, I was very close to God in that time, and I really enjoyed it.
Yeah. Good. I'll contribute one, I guess, and it goes way, way back. But when I was a young Christian, single, I had more time than I do now, or did later on in life. And I would have morning devotions, but then I'd come back in the evening, and I'd have some time, and I would memorize scripture, and just memorize a block of scripture, and actually take a long walk, maybe 1 or 2 miles, take a Xerox copy of a page of scripture and just try to read that and work it out, or you know, and I guess I would count that as devotional time, but it was rich. My mind was young and fresh and pliable. You guys who are young and fresh and have pliable minds, you know, I just encourage you to memorize scripture while you can, as much as you can. Have that word. The rest of us, the old people get a pass, right? No, we can still go for the fragments. Now, memorize all the scriptures that you can. But that was a sweet time in my own life of just knowing the Lord's presence, and then having that on recall. Somebody says Ephesians 1, and I have the structure in my mind there. Good. Well, how about the next point here? How to keep freshness. Maybe there's other ways, but I think one of the chief ones, keeping freshness in our devotions by variety. There's habit. There's habit of showing up each day, but I also would say that there needs to be variety. And when something gets stale, that we not jettison the types of things we do, the prayer, Bible reading, meditation, but that we vary the way that we do it. So what would be some of those ways? Let's talk about prayer. Allison?
I pray through the scriptures. So whatever I'm reading, the prayers change.
Okay.
And, you know, you can look for what is God saying about himself, so you can thank him for those things and pray that you'll see them better and be more grateful or whatever. And you can look for what God is saying to us to do or any of that. And I don't have a plan for reading. It's just go through as much as till I've fed something.
Okay.
Until something feels like, okay, I can chew on that.
Okay, good. All right, so praying through the scriptures and letting those scriptures frame some of the way in which you pray. Good. Other ideas about variety? Prayer? Bible reading? Alan? Okay. Okay. So listening to the Bible read as you're reading it. Okay. That's a different approach. It's the technology's there, right?
I like to write my prayers.
Okay.
And it just keeps me focused. But then, like, if I hit a spot where I'm like, I don't know what to pray about, or I can make a list, and then from that point, you know, whatever's on my mind, I can pray about that.
Okay. Okay. So yeah, more exposure to it, and we'll talk about that a little bit. But also the idea of writing out our prayers in order to help us frame them. David?
I allow the emotions that I'm feeling at the time how I dictate my prayers, the things that I should pray about. If I feel that, you know, I'm enjoying everybody's company, and the day is bright and perfect in a blue sky, you know, I give praise and thanks for that at that time.
Mm-hmm.
But if I'm feeling down or depressed or angry, I pray about that. Mm-hmm. So I let my emotions, the flow of my emotions, dictate the direction of my prayers.
Yeah, and to some degree, I would say that's right. I think, again, there should be even thanksgiving in the midst of sin. And this, you know, you're dealing with sin, you should be thanking God that there's grace. Right? Help, Lord, I recognize my sin. Help me to abound in and to receive the grace that you offer to deal with that sin. Chuck?
Yeah, as a backup to what David is saying, I've looked up at James 5:13. Is anyone among you suffering? Let him pray. Is anyone cheerful? Let him sing praises. Where the idea is, you know, that I will be in a variable emotional state, and to some degree, my response to God ought to be real, and in light of what I'm feeling at that time. But, and I call that spontaneous, but then I like to balance that with structure, because if I only follow the flow of my feelings, it might not take me down a healthy path. So I need the structure, like mm-hmm. you're saying. You know, I need to praise God and thank God in the midst of trials, and I still need to go through my prayer list, even though I'm filled with praises. But as to what we give weight to, it does depend on what is God doing with me now? And is there just cause? I would sin if I didn't give a longer time to praise during a happy time, or I would sin if I didn't, you know, confess at a time when I'm weighed down with my sin. So there is some variability according to
right.
our emotional state and
yeah.
God's current dealings with us.
Yeah. All structure and no response is to set ourselves up as a hypocrite. I'm coming in and doing what I do, but inside there's something else very definitely going wrong.
Yeah.
All spontaneity with no structure, and you're here and you're there and you didn't do what you should have done.
Mm-hmm.
Chris? Okay, good. Everybody hear that? Time, flat times, maybe, you know, and you're just trying to go through a period, reach for something that you know is going to ignite you, right? At least in a small way and balance that. Good, thank you. Good, so again, variety, and not just locking ourselves in. We talked a little bit last week about styles of Bible reading, and I guess the risk of the picture not working, I give the illustration of coal mining. We want to mine out the value from God's word, right? But there's different kinds of coal, and there's different kinds of mining. There's the strip mining where they remove the whole mountain, right? They're moving tons and tons of material, and they're getting out just a little bit of coal, and they're sifting it out. And so you're handling massive volume of material for the stuff that's out there. Then you come to anthracite, and you're down deep in the mine, and you're just going another 6 feet into it, but it's rich, it's good. And then the ultimate form of that carbon is diamonds, right? Diamond mining, they probably go an inch, right? And they talk about it, and they work on it, and they're working on this very little precious nugget. And I think we need to be ready to do that in our Bibles. It's all rich, but sometimes you need to go through a lot of material to get there, and a lot of recounting, a lot of repetition. Again, I was taking Dr. Kay's advice too, and see how fast and how far I can get. My answer is no, not four times a year. I'm not making it. But at least I'm... You know, I'm convinced I need to, even as a pastor and as a Christian, I need to expose myself to the whole counsel of God. I need to see it all and find those things. So I'm strip mining. I'm strip mining at the end of Deuteronomy, and there's some stuff that's useful, and there's some stuff that I kind of wonder. it's less useful. I need to remember it. But then you come into other places, and you hit the diamond load, and you want to slow down, and you want to study it out, and you want to do the cross-referencing and get that into your heart. So there are these different kinds of Bible reading, and like Chris says, sometimes you just need to vary the pace and take a break, and you know, there's no one right way to do that except for your heart to be engaged, in it. Other comments about variety and freshness? Any? Ashley?
Started in just a book that I thought was crazy to start in, and I wanted to take that concept of praying. when I mentioned it, thinking it was a crazy concept, but just choosing a crazy book, for me it was like Leviticus, and praying through each chapter, like reading the chapter, or no, reading an offering, and then praying through it, and then meditating on it, and trying to see Christ in that, and it turns into like a study slash meditation session slash prayer session, and you're praying on these things, you're really realizing how many things actually do incorporate into your life, and you kind of see the Christian life as something so much deeper and just so like where, well, for me it's like where I fall short, you know, in my devotion. So it taught me just different things about my life as a Christian, and so that just has been really helpful in a variety.
Okay, good. Thank you. Yeah, that's good. That's good. Let's talk about devotions in the extremes of life, or Jen talked about the different seasons of life, and maybe it'll be easier if you talk about the other guy. Okay, so you're coming and you're meeting with a fellow believer, a sister or a brother in Christ, and he says, I am totally pressured at work. I cannot believe I'm booking 80 hours at work this week, and I have to, but I also want to give devotions. What should I do? What would you say to that? What would you say to that brother about the season, the extreme times of pressure, or to the young mom who's just given birth, and what do you do? Chris, did you have a hand up or not? Oh, okay. I'm sorry.
For me, I mean, when I'm super busy, part of it is using technology. I'm listening to the word as I'm driving. It's not keeps long enough that I can do that.
Okay.
So
okay.
That definitely helps out.
Okay. Okay, so where you don't have the hours, you might redeem the time that, redeem other time. Andrew?
I would just mention when Jesus was going through his most extreme time before he's been dying on the cross, that he spent his whole night in prayer. So.
Okay, Jesus spent the time in prayer. So, okay, so under times of duress, he prayed more intensively. Chuck?
Yeah, a couple things. There's the famous quote of Luther, I've got so much to do today, I don't know how I'm going to get it done unless I pray 3 hours. That, right? Do it that way you will. But there's also maybe to turn them to something like Proverbs, where as Lenny Spitali likes to say, where the gemstones might be lying on the surface of the beach, where you don't have to dig as long and hard, but they're going to be just, you know, you just need to walk along the beach and pick them up. Something like Proverbs. It's just popping with little pithy statements, so you get a lot quickly. That might be some advice. You don't have as big a chunk of time. Grab some good stuff that's lying on the surface, maybe Proverbs.
Right, right. And I guess I'd say with Proverbs, and if you're just picking up gemstones, make them gemstones. Don't make it, oh, here's a good way to live, here's a moralistic thing, but what does it say to me spiritually, right? Where do I need to grow in grace in order to pursue that? Is that
the fear of the Lord underlines everything.
Right.
In the ethical teaching of Proverbs.
Right, right, right. Chris?
Yeah, I would say to capitalize on what Pastor Chuck said, James, kind of the New Testament Proverbs, is also a good book if you just need something really quick and direct to meditate on throughout your day.
Yeah. Yeah, good point. Good point. I'm sorry, somebody. Jen?
I remember buying a book at a homeschool conference. It was called Chasing God. I don't know if I ever got to read it.
maybe later in life, right?
But when I think of how you do devotions when you have young children, you don't do them the same way as when you have a lot of time. You sneak it in. You know, you when you're having devotions with your children, you're also, you know, communing with God.
Yeah.
And as I watch my daughter and all her children and what's going on and everything, you know, at the end of the day, she's praying with them and she's, right, you know, singing with them and everything. She's still, it's her time with God too.
Good. Thank you. So maybe to paraphrase Dr. Krabbendam, have devotions 4 times a day, right? So... you know, the just redeem little pieces. You might have to redeem pieces because you don't have that. How about in the relaxed times? What about some vacation? What should we do with our vacation? Let our mind go? Should we, what could we do to improve that time during like a vacation break? Ashley?
Use that time to rest in the Lord.
Okay.
Not put so much on your vacation plate, like filling your time with that, but having it more of a vacation with God.
Right, right. So, other ideas? Chris? Yeah, we can be too relaxed, right?
Sure. I think don't be deceived by taking a vacation from God, because even though things may be easy on vacation, that absence of cultivating his presence will come back to bite us once we're back in the rigors of the routine. But maybe to do something a little different, maybe a more casual time. A lot of times on vacation we go to nice places, beaches or mountains, and they're nice places to walk and just enjoy more casual times with the Lord. I think one pastor talked about, one man of old talked about praying with your boots on as versus praying with your feet up on the desk. You know, there are more relaxed seasons of time, but don't neglect the Lord. Don't take a vacation from him.
Right. There have been times in vacation when I grab John Owen or Jonathan Edwards, I'm going to, finally I have time. And I go and I don't realize how weary my mind has been already. One of those sweet times was a couple years ago when I took Ryle's Expository Thoughts. I've read it multiple times. It's the book of John. It's not rocket science exposition. But to have the time to let that percolate just as the simple word of God, the simple presentation of Christ and what he had simply to say, and then let that have time to soak in. I found that to be very helpful on a vacation break. Murray?
If I may, I'll get back to that point, but I want to go back to the last thoughts where we were talking about people in intense times, because I think it's the flip side of this. I think this might apply, so you can certainly see somebody that's got so much intensity of pressure that they need a restful time with the Lord. But I can see, a man that's putting in 80 hours, I can see challenging him to say, put the same intensity into your 10 minutes with the Lord that you're going to be putting into your hours. Seek first the kingdom of God, keep that principle in place. But you're a man who knows how to put intensity into your life. So
be intense.
Be intense with the Lord.
Yeah.
I think. And
good.
In restful times, I agree with you. Sometimes you just take a book that you would never have the time to read in real life.
Right.
And enjoy that. And you said percolate. And I think one thing that would be a help to all of us in all of this, if we used our Lord's days better. We would have a better practice, and I'm saying that to me too. We would have a day in seven when we could have a bit more leisurely time with the Lord. We would have some time that is given to more time that we can give to the rest of the week.
Right.
We could have a little practice of more intense time, or a little practice of reading that book that we wouldn't. All of those things can fit in the Lord's day when they can't fit in other parts of life if we view the day as the Lord's.
Right. And that's exactly where my thoughts went next, and relaxed times. Well, we do have that available to us. One day in seven ought to be a break from the rigors of demands upon us, and we can redeem that. We can redeem it early on Sunday, middle of the day, end of the day. We should use the Sabbath day as a day of rest and of spiritual refreshment. That spiritual refreshment comes back to hearing from God, you know, and finding ways to come into His Word and wait for Him to speak to us as well as for us to speak to Him. So, pardon?
But how do you hear Him?
How do you hear Him? I would say you hear Him by His Word primarily, and through counsel with speaking to one another in the Scriptures. I mean, it's a time for fellowship and hearing from your brethren as well, you know, through the day. That's okay. We'll keep going on that. So good. I'm sure there's others. We can talk about times of sickness, times of prosperity, times of affliction, times of temptation. Leah said this is a spiritual battle, and we need sometimes to recognize that there is that. I think we've talked a little bit about pursuing means of grace throughout the day. Recognize we do have a lot of opportunities through internet, through music, audio Bible we've talked about, other ways in which we can redeem other hours of the day for hearing God. Again, in the context of our God-given responsibilities. Let's finish with this thought. Our devotional life needs to be always gospel-fueled. This is not a rote routine. This is not something that we're doing, again, in order to check the boxes by any means. We need to come with a heart that wants to worship God and wants to learn of Him. And to do that, we need gratitude. Out of the abundance of the heart, the mouth speaks. And to have gratitude, we need to reflect on God's work of salvation for us. That needs to be in our, every day, that needs to be in our thoughts and in our prayers. Who am I? Who am I, a sinner? What has God done? He's come in grace through Jesus Christ. He's made a way that I can both be forgiven, justified, and brought into His presence, as Sandy said, coming through the veil. We need to ask these questions. Do I come thirsty for God? Am I coming to this time drawing apart? Am I coming thirsty for God? Am I coming there? Am I governed? And am I willing to be governed increasingly by His Word? And am I increasingly sensitive to needing the presence of God with me? Do I need to foster this relationship to God, to hear Him, and to thirst after Him. The empty soul can thirst for God, should thirst for God. The dry soul, and we know too much of that, the dry soul should thirst for God, but also the satisfied soul should thirst more and more for God as well. So, you know, whatever grace God has put into us, let's just turn that back with more and more desire to be with Him. And as we come to worship, let's have that spirit among us too. Thirsty for God, thirsty to hear Him, thirsty to know Him, thirsty to have His presence with us, thirsty to see Him working in this world by His grace. Let's pray. Our Father, we bow and we thank You that You are the one who empowers our devotional times. And we pray that You will empower them more and more, that You will meet us in prayer, You will meet us in reading, You will meet us in times of meditation. You would help us to know our hearts, help us to know when things are flat, when there are controversies in our conscience that are barring the gates of access into Your presence. Lord, help us, meet us when there are unforeseen circumstances, the sickness of a child, the difficulties that we might face. Lord, would You be with us and meet us, give us grace both to know our hearts but to know the deceitfulness of our hearts too. We would be ever pressing after You to know You in our private lives and then to communicate with one another and encourage one another. We thank You for this time. Pray that we may know your grace in all of our labors, might know your presence with us. We ask in Jesus' name, amen.